We're discussing vaccine rollout with advocate Aurora Health, which has one of its headquarters in Milwaukee and operates 26 hospitals. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC data tracker shows Wisconsin is one of the leading states for administering the highest percentage of COVID vaccines received. But hospitals and clinics, they're struggling to get enough doses to meet demand. Advocate Aurora Health has administered nearly 232,000 vaccines to date. Have you been vaccinated? What is it like to get an appointment? Do you have questions about your eligibility and where to get vaccinated? 800-642-1234. Dr. Jeff Barr is an internal medicine specialist and president of Aurora Healthcare Medical Group. He's on the board of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Dr. Barr, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kay. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with your health system first. How are you prioritizing? How are you deciding who gets a vaccine and who doesn't?
Well, there's been a shift since we started the vaccine program in mid-December. We've worked through all of our healthcare frontline team members, so physicians, nurses, anyone who touches patients, and with an emphasis on our employees. But we also administered vaccinations to many healthcare workers outside our own system in that 1A category. And now we're in the 1B category. So we're really dealing with individuals 65 and older who are at high risk for contracting the disease and having a bad outcome from the disease. So if you're 65 or over and you have severe comorbidities, as we call them, so think diabetes, lung disease, cancer, things of those types, you're going to be prioritized over individuals without those comorbidities. We've also turned our focus to certain communities that are predisposed to contracting the disease at higher rates and who are predisposed to having bad outcomes from the disease itself.
This latest group that is able to get vaccinized, including teachers in this group, this is hundreds of thousands of people who are now eligible. What do your vaccine, how many vaccines are you getting and are you able to get enough?
Well, so I think you touched on it in your introduction. Demand far exceeds supply, not just in southeastern Wisconsin, not just in the state as a whole, but really across the nation. Large healthcare organizations like Advocate Aurora and really every entity that is administering the vaccine at the local level does not have enough supply to meet demand. And so that's why we are tiering the recipients of the vaccine into prioritized categories like that. And I really don't know of any group that is administering the vaccine that would say, yes, we've got enough. We're confident we will. So I think, as I mentioned, we just started doing this in December, and we'd like to be further ahead than we are, but I don't want that to cast a pall over the progress that we've made. As you mentioned, our organization alone has vaccinated over 230,000 people in Illinois and Wisconsin as of yesterday. In Wisconsin alone, we've vaccinated over 111,000 individuals. So we feel very good about that because we know that this is our path out of the pandemic. But we'd like to be a lot further, a lot faster.
Dr. Barr, how do you flex with the supply changes week to week, or maybe there aren't? I mean, to ensure you don't waste any doses.
Yeah, in a word, nimbly. We have to be nimble. We don't know what our supply is going to be. We are reliant on federal and state agencies to let us know how much of which product we're going to get and when, and then at the county level, how those supplies are going to be distributed. Fortunately, I would say that across the state of Wisconsin, the healthcare organizations that are administering the vaccine have demonstrated excessive amounts of cooperation and collaboration with one another to get our state to its highest point of health throughout the pandemic. So I'm very pleased with that. I'm very pleased with our relationship with government at every level. I think the communication has, even if it's not the news we want about the amount of supply we're going to get, at least it's the communication is there. And so I think that helps.
We're talking with Dr. Jeff Barr, who is president of Aurora Healthcare Medical Group on the board of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. We're discussing vaccine rollout at Aurora and talking with you. Have you been vaccinated? What is it like to get an appointment after receiving the vaccine? Did you have any side effects? How long did they last? What do you tell your friends and neighbors about getting vaccinated? 800-642-1234. You mentioned communication, Dr. Barr. How do you schedule patients for appointments with this vaccine? Is there a waiting list? How do you reach out?
So we don't maintain a waiting list of any sort. And really, we've tried to contact our patients and our team members in a variety of ways. I'd say the most effective way is what we call our LiveWell app. Advocate Aurora uses a digital app that allows patients to receive an invitation to schedule that first dose. You come in for that first dose, and if it is a two-dose vaccine, now that we have a single-dose vaccine, we have to distinguish. But if it's a two-dose vaccine, you're eligible to schedule that second dose immediately after that first dose is administered and registered in our system. So we are providing outreach to our established patients, and those are individuals that have really maintained care with us at some point in some form in the last 2 years. And so we are going through our electronic medical record and providing outreach either through our app or by email. At the end of the day, if we find that people have not shown for their appointments and we do have doses left over, we do use our contact center, our centralized contact centers, to provide telephone calls to patients who would be otherwise eligible also. So there's a variety of ways. I would also say that for those that are not digitally proficient, individuals who come in for their regular appointments with their primary care physicians or other clinicians that they might see in our system, we have a pilot going on at several of our clinic locations by which they can schedule that appointment live in person with our staff at those clinic locations after their normal healthcare appointments.
Let's look for a moment at the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, one-dose sure. vaccine, and the state is expecting to get thousands of doses. When do you expect Aurora Health beginning to offer the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
We're still waiting to hear that right
okay.
now. So that's a conversation in process right now. We're hopeful it'll be sooner rather than later.
What do you make of a one-dose vaccine? Does it allow you to be more flexible?
Without a doubt, it's a game changer because, number one, it adds to our supply. So we're able to vaccinate a greater number of people. And you probably know that the storage constraints of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines in terms of temperature maintenance don't exist with the J&J vaccine. And given that it's a single dose, you don't have to worry about someone coming back for their second appointment because, unfortunately, we have had individuals that show for the first appointment and, you know, by one mechanism or another, may not be able to make that second appointment that they set. And it's uncommon, but it's happened. And I think the J&J vaccine mitigates that issue.
Wow. So, I mean, that would be a concern if patients don't or if people don't show up for that second vaccine.
Without a doubt. And so we stress through every communication, look, if it's the Moderna or Pfizer product, you're committing to a two-dose vaccine process. And like I said, the second dose no-show is rare. But we want to educate people about the implications of that and making sure that we're not wasting vaccine in that way either.
Internal medicine specialist Jeff Barr with us, heads up medical group operations for Aurora Healthcare. Do you work at a hospital or clinic? Are you still waiting to get vaccinated? Healthcare workers, what are you experiencing with COVID cases and your patient load? Are you able to vaccinate your patients yet? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Barr here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss vaccine rollout in health systems. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're zooming in on Advocate Aurora Health, which is vaccinating healthcare workers and its most vulnerable patients based on CDC guidelines. It has more than 75,000 workers, hundreds of locations in Wisconsin and Illinois. Clinicians, how accessible is information about who's eligible for the vaccine? What are frequent misconceptions that you work to dispel about COVID vaccines? Is your healthcare clinic able to flex and administer all the doses you receive in a given week? 800-642-1234. Dr. Jeff Barr is president of Aurora Healthcare Medical Group, and he stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Julie now in Wausau. Hi, Julie. What is your question?
Hi, I am part of a project here in central Wisconsin where we are organizing several organizations to get information out to the Hmong and Hispanic communities about COVID. In spring, we were getting information about testing and quarantine and all of that, and now we've moved to trying to get information out about the vaccine. And what we are encountering here is that the websites, whether they're pharmacies or health systems or even health departments, are all in English. Mm. And if people can get through the website and actually schedule an appointment, the call that they get back is from an English speaker. Mm. And I just kind of want to point out to the doctor that this is a serious issue here in our part of the state. And I'm wondering if Aurora is doing anything to address people
language barriers.
English is not language, yes.
Yeah, Julie, thank you. Language barriers and, you know, undeniable disparities related to COVID. What is Advocate Aurora Health's position on this, Dr. Barr?
Yeah, great question, and I'm glad you raised it. I think this really aligns well with our overall diversity, equity, and inclusion work at a system level, not just relative to COVID, but relative to healthcare in general. But on the COVID front, we've hosted several Spanish language Facebook Live sessions that have been very, very popular, not just in Wisconsin, but in Illinois as well. And much of our literature that we provide our patients is available in multiple languages, including Hmong, Spanish, Russian, and a variety of other languages. But you point out a good issue to resolve, and that is the disparity in language services across healthcare systems, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally. So we have taken that really head on in offering several education sessions, not just in written word, but also in social media.
Jill called from Madison, couldn't stay with us. Jill only wants to schedule an appointment to receive the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and not the other two. Do you see this being possible at all at Aurora? Do you have a choice of which vaccine you receive, Jill asks.
You know, given everything we've talked about, the vaccine supply continuing to be very limited nationally and our ability to vaccinate our patients, it's really based on whichever vaccine is shipped to us. And so for that reason, we, like most healthcare providers, are unable to offer patients a choice of vaccine. So we encourage people to get the vaccine that is first available to them, as they are all highly safe and effective. And mass vaccination, as I've mentioned, is really the only way to bring an end to the pandemic.
Russ now in Stoughton is with us. Hi, Russ. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'm 74 years old. About 6 weeks ago, I think it was January, there was an article in our local Senior Citizens monthly newsletter for Stoughton, Wisconsin, to register to get on a list for in coordination with Stoughton Health and UW-Madison Hospital to get on a list to make an appointment for a vaccine shot, you know, whatever type. And so about 3 weeks ago, I called them afterwards and tried to find out where I was on the list. Well, they didn't know that. So just 2 days ago, I called them to find out what was going on. Were they going to contact me? Are they getting down to my name or whatever? They said they hadn't received any vaccine for 2 weeks and didn't know if they were going to get any more in the future.
No, oh, so Russ is feeling pretty high and dry here, as had signed up and now comes to find out not able to get vaccinated through this outlet. Have you heard of this concern, Dr. Barr?
Absolutely, and it's I'm sorry that you had to go through that first and foremost, because it's kind of a hurry up and wait mentality and that we're all forced to be in then. And as I mentioned earlier, we don't maintain a wait list. The last thing we want to do is get people scheduled, get them in a queue, only to cancel on them. And so we try to restrict our scheduling process until we know with certainty that we're going to have supply because as the caller mentioned, Russ, it can be very disappointing to have to go through that. You make the decision to get the vaccination, and for a lot of people, that can be quite a difficult decision to make. Now, I think with the safety information coming out, it's an easier decision. But a lot of people ruminate on the decision in the first place, and then you get signed up, and then your appointment's canceled because there's no supply. And so we try to avoid that by only scheduling people when we know with certainty that we have that supply.
We're talking with Dr. Jeff Barr, who's president of Aurora Healthcare Medical Group. We're looking at how vaccines are being administered through his health system, which has one of its headquarters in Milwaukee, and looking at the greater vaccine rollout with your questions, 800-642-1234. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Rich, go ahead.
Hi. A greeting is emerging among people. The other night, my neighbor's dogs and my dog started feeling springtime and running around together, so Chris came over. He and his wife, Julie, live across the road. And the first words we said to one another, because I go back and forth between Jefferson County and Oneida County all the time, first words were, "Hi, Chris, I've been vaccinated." He said, "I have too, Rich. I got really sick. Did you get sick from it?" I said, "Not at all." My point is Wisconsin is doing a wonderful job of reaching certain communities. Like, I'm very old. I'm about 50 years older than Chris and his wife. I think we really have to start emphasizing we need to Chris and Julie work in geriatric healthcare, the paper end of it up here in Oneida County. We really have to start vaccinating young people as quickly as we can. And I think we also need some sort of system of communicating who's been vaccinated and who has not. I know there are dangers in that, but I don't want to sound like some kind of fascist with armbands or badges, but I think we need some way of saying, hey, it's all right to get vaccinated.
Rich, thank you for those observations and sharing about your neighbors as well. Dr. Barr, what are your reflections on what Rich has to say?
Well, I think it's great that we're getting the vaccines out to communities throughout the state, first and foremost. And I think the scale of organizations like mine, Advocate Aurora scale, allows us to do that very, as I mentioned earlier, nimbly. I do want to preach caution. The vaccine, even if everybody were vaccinated, there'd still be some concern that some people could still get infected. Certainly, even once we reach herd immunity, there's still going to be some cases cropping up here because the vaccines are not 100% efficacious. So that distancing, the masking, and all the other public health mitigation measures become very, very important, no matter how far into the pandemic we go. So I'm glad people are getting vaccinated. I'm glad people are conversing about it and encouraging one another to do it. And I couldn't agree more. Let's get the whole population vaccinated to do that. It all comes back to supply.
Well, Dr. Barr, let's break that down a little bit. If you are vaccinated, your neighbor across the street is vaccinated, and what can you and cannot you do? I mean, can I break that down for us?
Well, I think it's not a passport to go about life as though it were 2019 again. I do think that vaccinated individuals, we believe, still have the ability to transmit the virus to unvaccinated individuals. And that's why we still promote masking, distancing, cleanliness, things of that type. I think gradually, as the percentage of vaccinated individuals in the state climbs, we are going to be able to ease up, but we're not there yet.
Let's look a little bit at your patient load and what the hospitals are looking like for Aurora. How are COVID-positive patients admitted to the hospital? What numbers are you seeing?
Well, we're very encouraged at the numbers over the last month or two. Right, as of yesterday, in our hospitals in Wisconsin, and Advocate Aurora operates 16 hospitals in the eastern third of Wisconsin, we had only 55 COVID-positive patients in our hospitals. That's a phenomenal number to realize. It's a significant drop from really just 3 months ago. And If you look at the positivity rates of our tests, they're at levels lower than at any point since we've been testing. So also very, very encouraging. So if you look at people that are getting tested before a procedure or a surgery, those rates are going way down also. But just basic community testing is going down also.
Very quickly, what is your greatest challenge right now?
You know, it's twofold. It's making sure that we as a community, we as a kind of statewide brotherhood of community members, that we stay vigilant about ending our purpose to end this vaccine. So I'm saying end the pandemic,
yeah,
and promote vaccination. So that's a challenge right now, is just maintaining vigilance among people. I think people are COVID fatigued, and vigilance tends to wane a little bit as time goes on. The other challenge is something we haven't really talked a lot about, and that's kind of the so-called second pandemic of unintended chronic health conditions, behavioral health conditions, preventative measures. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, this is March's National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And we need to make sure that people are not ignoring basic cancer screening.
And all the screenings. And Dr. Barr, we are out of time. I just want to thank you, Dr. Jeff Barr, an internist and president of Aurora Healthcare Medical Group. Coming up, our discussion on COVID vaccines continues. Stay with us. News update is next on the Ideas Network.